What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 47 of the Dan and Cody podcast with my main man, Devin Lotfy, filling in for the happily married Cody Frederick. Let's get it!
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
A toy boat. Toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
Cody is away on his honeymoon. He just got married to Maddie. So we're here. We can't replace Cody, but we're going to try with Devin Lotfy. Hi, Devin.
Hi.
So Devin, for all of you, Devin is, he is a co-worker of mine at Prop Store. And I've known you for how long now?
It's been like 5 years.
Like 5 years.
Would you ever think? You're a big part of my LA life.
Yeah. Would you ever think that you would be doing a podcast with me when you first met me? Yeah, we were
actually
not friends.
No, maybe when I first met
maybe
you.
Maybe first
we were friends,
but then middle we were not friends.
You had to you had to pamper me so I would do all your shipping duties.
Yep,
and then let it go. But It was Prop Store was different back then. There was a lot less people.
Very raw.
So it was cabin fever.
Yeah, very raw. And you're, Devin's from a transplant to LA too. You're from Catonsville?
Catonsville, yeah.
Yeah.
That's always weird when I say Baltimore. People are like, oh, what part? And I'm like, all right, well, I'm like 15 minutes from the city, but Baltimore County, you know.
Same. Yeah. Well, no one in LA knows what Catonsville is anyway. So it's like, whatever. So you're an actor out here. That you have two survival jobs.
I think that's the hard thing, yeah. Because
you're always an actor. You just got to get paid.
You know, my manager told me that. I said, I think when I was new, I was like, I'm trying to be an actor. And he was like, other job.
That's what they would tell me. Yeah. Like, you are an actor.
But I think it is, you know.
You're just not getting paid.
I know people that have come out and just couch surf for a year. And then, boom, I see them. I saw someone on Scream Queens the other day. And I was like, what?
You're like, motherfucker.
But you know, me personally, like, I got to have food in the fridge. And, like, so.
And there ain't no shame in that.
Well, right. No, of course. But I think that's just what takes longer. I don't know. I think you can't take as much risks.
Yeah.
But,
teachers and stuff, when you come out here, they're like, you have to be willing to starve and sleep on the floor and not get married and not have a car and not have babies and have no money. And I was like, fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah, but you still.
I'd rather do a podcast.
You still found something, you know, not just Prop Store. Like, you like LA. My brother was here.
Yeah.
2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month ago, whatever. We were driving down the coast to San Diego and he was like, I don't get it. Why don't I live here? Like, and it was so genuine. And it was just like, you know, he has an infant at home. And I was like, well, you know, it's not too late.
I think. It's like the point of moving here was like originally, yes, the dreams of being like a famous actor and making it and all this stuff. But when all that goes away and you have a good job and, you know, you have a nice place that you live in, you're still in LA.
Yeah.
So it's like fucking win-win.
But you made it because you made a life for yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, those are the little virtues that, like, not everybody thinks about. Like, you gotta count your blessings. Like, you didn't go home and say, all right, it didn't work out. Because it worked out in its own way.
Yeah. And so many people have, like, a time limit on LA. Yeah. They're like, all right, well, I'll come out, but I got some conditions. Like, I need 10 years. I got 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
They set all these parameters, and then they don't get them.
I think that's how people are with their parents, too. Like, I mean, I'm really lucky. Like, my parents are super supportive. But, yeah, my dad, like, you know, all right, well, you know, after such and such amount of time, I mean, that's when you'll probably have to be like, okay, you know, time for something else. And it's And
it could come the day after your thing is over. There's no, like, there's no right or wrong.
Like, I'm not 100%, you know. I mean, one day at a time is a great way to be if, you know, you still pay your bills.
Yeah.
But I think it's also like, you know, they're still learning too. Like, when they see your happiness, they start to get it. You know, the little victories you have.
And what's
I was in a workshop and everyone was supposed to do a scene where they cried.
Mm-hmm.
And we all were in the hallway waiting to go and we were like, I don't know. I can't do this. Like, you know, I can cry in my bathroom mirror by myself, but like, not in this scene in front of all these people. And no one was crying, and everyone had to go again. And then I went, for some reason, it clicked,
you
and I started
waterworks?
Bawling.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because you're crying on the outside, and then inside I was like, fuck yeah, I'm crying. And then everyone
I'm crying!
Yeah. Like, I was so happy that I was crying. Which, you know, and then I went to the bathroom and, like, real cried, like, happy cried. And I called my parents. I was like, I cried.
Wait, you cried and then you cried because you cried?
Yeah. Like, it was bad. I was like, could you guys excuse me? Because everyone was kind of in shock, like, in a weird way. Not to toot my horn, but it was just because of how it was built up. No one was really doing it. So
have you taken classes on crying?
No.
Dude,
okay, go ahead.
In college, I took this class, I forget what it was called. I guess it was like Stanislavski 2.
Yep, okay.
Like method shit. And we like all the students were just like college, all had to sit in this circle, and like every day like three people would go. Mm-hmm. And you had to like recount like a terrible, horrible time in your life. And like you had to keep your eyes closed, and the teacher would like ask you like, would like try to dig and like get you there to recount this moment, like what the grass smell like all the shit, like what was it raining, what did that feel like on your skin, and like all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like and then like everybody was getting it, everyone was hitting it, and they were like, damn, crying. And since we're going in a circle, it's like, oh shit, there's five more people. I don't know if my story's good. Yeah. I don't have a thing.
But that's the thing. Everybody has a different experience. And some people have way more traumatic past. So sometimes delving into that, you know, can be dangerous too. Mm-hmm. And that's why Meisner, Stanislavski, everything. Some classes are a little too, like, foo-foo for me.
Yeah.
Not, I don't know that's that, the right word. But, like, they really, yeah, like, the too spiritual, like, yoga-ish kind of, like,
yeah,
get there.
Yeah, that's what this class was tiptoeing on. It was a little too mystical for me. Because mm-hmm. like,
I think you can think, you know, I can think about dog dying, whatever. Like, and sometimes there's things that can get you there.
Yeah.
But if you're lucky, you can get right out of it. Some people can't. Like, I've kind of always been able to just, you know, bounce out.
Right.
And,
but I don't want to sound pretentious saying this, but if your character is supposed to be crying and it's a traumatic event for your character, then that should be enough motivation to make you cry, I feel. I feel like taking the time while you're acting to recount a real true event as mm-hmm. like a child that was traumatizing is, you know, not right.
Yeah. I think you're working through the character, and then, yeah, you got to find some of yourself in it. But, yeah, it should be able to, like...
But the words are there, the events are happening, and if you're acting and you're in it, those events are happening.
Yeah.
You should be crying then.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this... I think Bryce Dallas Howard was on Conan promoting Jurassic Park, and she... Like, they were talking about crying, and she could, like, hit the waterworks. Mm. Boom. And that's incredible to me. Like, I don't know how you can just hit it. And he would, like, said, like, three things to her. And she's like, yeah, uh-huh, and then boom, go
Sometimes
on.
It's not always emotional. I can kind of trigger, like, the muscles that, like, make me yawn and stuff.
And then
just,
that's like,
get her eyes watery. Yeah. Sometimes you're not sad. You can just, like, totally just do it.
She came back on Conan for whatever Netflix show she's on, Black... Mm. Mass or something.
Oh, really?
I don't, yeah. But she was promoting that, and then they recounted like her crying for Jurassic Park, and then she tried to make Conan cry with the yawning technique.
Oh.
And he did not do it. He didn't cry.
One of the intensives I took was very, like, you know, focused on that. It was just the whole, like, you just pair up with a stranger and you just start, like, screaming at him, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. going at it and everything, like, fighting about, like, you know, that's kind of improv, you know, like the not comedy improv, like when you just like, you know, start fighting about something or pick a topic or whatever.
But, yeah.
That was one of those, we had the, you know, have you ever done it when you get a script and the lines are just like, yeah, me too. Sure. And because
for like
they want you to
pages.
Build like the, like create the scenario that, cause that could be anything.
Yeah.
So
it's sort of a test of like, mm-hmm. will this person make choices to like, or were they just going to stand there and read the fucking
sign? I think after
sign?
you helping me a couple weeks ago, you might have a acting coach career.
Holla! When I read your thing, it just made sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I saw in there.
He helped me with my audition for James Franco.
Oh, yeah, I'm a terrible host.
Oh, no, I don't care. It's just kind of fallen into it. Now, I'm in... James Franco opened an acting school here called Studio 4, and I took classes there in the summer, and it was really cool, and it wasn't like, oh, I have to take this because James Franco, you know, he might just, like, walk by and see me, and I'll be famous. And of course, that's what 85% of the people probably think. But no, I liked it. I loved my teacher, and everything was great. And then my brother... you know, being my mascot, he tagged me in James's Instagram post about applying for his masterclass, and he was like, we're going to make feature films, all that. And yeah, it was definitely a long process, but I got in thanks to Dan's help.
So, thanks to me.
It's really cool. You know, I was working last night at the bar, and the trailer was on for his Christmas movie, Why Him? Did you see that preview?
Mm-mm.
It came on during the Cubs game, like, constantly. And my dad for months has been telling me about this movie, like, because he's been so excited, like, oh, it looks so funny, Devin. I mean, I don't know what it's called, but it's going to be a funny Christmas movie. And, you know, I know that James still can, like, I hate saying James now. It's such a douchebag.
My friend James.
No, James Franco can obviously still headline a big film, but if you look at his IMDb now, it's just like tons and tons and of, you know, so many projects he's working on. So I feel like, in a way... he is, like, the real epitome of making it. The fact that he's got a big holiday, big budget Christmas movie coming out with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
But he's also, you know, working in his little school that he made and teaching people and being on... I didn't even know he was on soap opera, Days of Our Lives, General Hospital. He played, like, a serial killer, and apparently he was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, how cool to have made it that far, to take a step back and be like, I want to dabble in that.
Yeah.
And not to make fun of it, but to experience
well,
it.
Well, you sort of get to a point where he's made enough money where and has enough clout where he can, like, make whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And his Seth Rogen and stuff, they love just making their own shit and doing it. And then
he's definitely said that...
what's it called? Kind of sucked. The Kim Jong-un one.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
This is
the one that got, like, banned?
Yeah.
And the interview.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that was their only, like, real major miss.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else has been, like, killer.
I think...
And is he, like, it's funny because it's like, is James Franco a joke or is he, like, legit? There's always that argument.
But
of
I think
like,
that's what makes an artist kind of cool, whether it's a musician or whatever. It keeps you guessing. You know what I mean? And, you know, I can tell you firsthand, no, he's definitely, you know, sometimes it might seem like he's a little, you know, off, and then he's completely clear and present. And, you know, for someone who's experienced everything to then work with, you know, up and coming people, you know, he's got to find a way to, he doesn't hold back. He's got to be professional, but. He's not like sugarcoating anything, but he's definitely he's not a joke because I don't think he'd be doing it.
Yeah. So right now you auditioned for his master class, you got in, you got your foot in the door, and now you are like just keep being coached
We're making a modern day Dracula movie. There's also writers and directors that got into the class. So we've kind of separated in groups, and each writer and director in the group is you know, we're doing, like, exercises and stuff to practice.
Yeah.
But the writers got assigned, like, a part of Dracula that they're, you know, working on. And we also did, like, a couple other famous, like, vampire short stories that are going to be, like, intertwined within. Mm-hmm. So, like, Saturday, I'm going to do a table read of my group's script. So, you know, we'll hear, you know, it's not nerve-wracking for the actors. We're just... presenting what they've written. It's the writers who are more like, you know, oh gosh, what's he thinking? You know what I mean?
And
is he
like bad teacher? What's her name?
Cameron Diaz?
Is he like Cameron Diaz is coming in like all fucked up and hungover?
No,
like,
no, guess
he's okay, go.
He's coming from teaching. He's coming from USC or UCLA or something, I swear to God.
Really?
He teaches because I think his point was he was like, I wanted to create something that was, you know, moderately affordable for you guys to do instead of, you know, having to go to a university,
pay,
you know, $200,000 or whatever it would be a semester. But yeah, so at USC, I think you have to like get into his class. It's like, you know, credits or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, he comes straight from there or UCLA or both. I could be wrong. And he comes to us.
It's fucking cool, man.
Yeah. He's got a big coffee thermos, you know, that keeps him going. But yeah, so anyway.
How big's the thermos?
Like,
Damn. It's like 2 feet.
I don't know. But I feel like, you know, back to what we said, you know, it's weird saying I'm an actor. And you're like, oh, what have you been in? And I'm like, well, I was an extra on Gossip Girl. And that was just like the height of my career. Me and Blake Lively.
Were you in Step Up with me?
I was in Step Up.
I feel like any aspiring actor from Maryland was in Step Up.
It's so funny.
Or Step Up
2. I mean, I was seriously sitting on a curb next to Channing Tatum and like talking to other extras. Like, he was in the Mountain Dew commercial. Like, oh, yeah, like nobody's in this movie. And then it was like, oh, Mario is in it. You know, because he was such a big deal, especially, you know, in Baltimore and everything. And
did you make the final cut of the movie?
In distance, yes, but my like big up close scene is in the deleted scenes. And I swear it's my fault because I kept getting yelled at for slamming my locker door closed. Like, really, they'd be like, "Cut! What the hell's wrong with you?" Because I think I had to like walk into the locker room, like open the locker, close my bag in there, and I was just like getting it jammed. And I remember we were, you know, it was on break, and just to like break the ice, I went to Mario and I was like, "You did a really good job." He was like, "Really? You felt like you was watching a movie?" And I was like, yeah.
And he's like, get the fuck out of here.
But then that scene got deleted, and I'm pretty sure his character got, like, kind of just washed off to not much.
Isn't it funny looking back?
I'm not being weird. Like, I went and saw it to obviously support it and look for myself, but I didn't think it was good. There's no way I thought.
Up?
Yeah, like, if you can enjoy the dancing, fine. But if you would have told me that there'd be, like, 7 Step Ups right now.
Oh, my God.
I would have bet my life on it.
Can you name them all?
Okay, Step Up to the Streets.
Step Up to the Streets.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And then there's Step Up 3. I'm
3D.
Not sure. Yeah, Step Up 3D.
Right? Okay.
And then I think Step Up 4 is where they go to Vegas. All In.
I don't know.
And then there might be another Step Up.
Did it end up going straight to video now? Or I don't know.
Okay. Oh, no. I know Step Ups. I know at least the All In one. Up to four was in theaters.
Yeah, that might be harder titles than Fast and Furious.
I think me and Jenny saw Step Up 3D in theaters.
But I remember, I think my audition was at Towson at Bill Bateman's, and they just like wanted us to walk around. But I'm definitely retired from being an extra, at least on that far in my career. I'll never do it again. Here we go.
Step Up 3D.
Okay.
Step Up 2, The Streets. Step Up 4. Miami Heat, and then Step Up All In, and then there's regular Step Up, and there's one that's, I guess it's being made, Step Up 6, after the spectacular win in Vegas.
Maybe they'll do like, you know what, if it started good and then fizzled, I would say they make a comeback, but I don't know, like Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, they got to somehow get
C-Tate. You have to understand why I've been hesitant. I loved the first one. I might have even had the poster. I remember being so into it, going to see it.
I like 2.
But then it was like, oh, 2's not supposed to be that good, you know, so I didn't watch 2. And then it was like Tokyo Drift. Oh, well, that has nothing to do with it, so don't worry about that. And then, let's be honest, 4 was supposed to be really, like, dark and grim, and I was like, all right. But then all of a sudden it's like, that's got to be the first franchise, I think, that, like, the 5th one suddenly was, like, Rotten Tomatoes, killing it, and everything.
They revamped
it, man. Yeah, like, that's really cool.
Insert Dwayne Johnson into any franchise, he'll kill it.
I saw a meme the other day, and it's him walking next to himself, like, on a beach. Like a picture from the same, you know, shoot, obviously. And it's like, did you know that Dwayne Johnson and The Rock are twins? And it was all these comments were just like, some people were like, wait, what?
Whoa, that's really cool. I mean, that's awesome.
I think you've given me the spiel about, you know, breaking off from a wrestling career.
Yeah, you've got to.
But anyway, back to what I was saying. So yeah, it's kind of cool after being here for as many years as I have been. To finally be in something that's kind of, you know,
It's awesome.
You know, I definitely had agents, got rid of agents. And the screenplay thing was cool, too. Like, nothing's really come to fruition from that, but I've learned so much from it. And going to pitch it and everything was scarier than performing for anyone I've performed for. Like, audience or whatever. To just
sit with
strangers and you have 5 minutes just to talk about it, you know. But,
your mind can race and go all over the place.
Yeah, I think also, like you can't be so hard on yourself. Like even if I'm just sitting at home on the computer and I'm writing something that I'm hopeful about, like that's making it right there too. Because you're just like, you know, you're happy and it's artistic. You know, it's not just, you know. That's why I can't, you know, sorry to stay on this, but like, you know, I'd be in workshops and I'd talk to guys who are like, yeah, I'm just like collecting unemployment, waiting for auditions. I'm like, really?
It's like what? Dude, and people like that, work, they're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly, because exactly, it's the work ethic. Like,
yeah,
that has to be there for when you actually do, you know, maybe get some kind of real work.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can't just like, bite your pride and work anywhere to just make ends meet and say you're, you know, collecting unemployment to wait for auditions, that's really lazy.
And then let's say that guy does get a commercial. Has he made it? Like, in your dad's eyes, would he say, come on home?
Right, yeah.
You know, like, what is making it? Like, mm-hmm. You could have got out here your first year, landed a movie, a B movie or whatever, and, you know, you're like, oh, shit. Boom. Overnight success. Sky's the limit. And then, like, 5 years go by, and you get nothing. Do you leave? No, you've made it. You're in a movie.
It's hard.
Like, what is, like, sustain? You got to sustain it, right? That's what I think.
It's funny because I look at advice and I've heard people say, take everything. You're not anybody yet. Just take everything. But I don't think it's true. Like, especially if you look at reality, like, let's say you do make great money or something for being on a reality show. Like, no one's going to cast you because of, in a weird way, being typecast from the reality show. Do you know what
I mean? It's like you're a game show guy.
Yeah.
Or like, you're a reality guy.
Not to bring it up.
But, I mean, there's crossovers. There's people who've crossed over.
No, for sure. Like, I just think sometimes you can make a choice that could just...
Remember The Miz from The Real World?
Yeah.
He's like hardcore WWE.
Oh, man. Okay. That's okay.
He's like legit.
Yeah.
And he's doing like shitty wrestling.
I just think
now.
With acting, you could make a choice that could... It might be like lucrative and cool and get you something, but
yeah,
it might have repercussions.
For sure. All right, you crazy kids. I want to tell you about a company called JC Roomblocks. If you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you, you have a wedding, you have a barbecue, you have a bat mitzvah, a family gathering of sorts, a bris, whatever. You call JC Roomblocks. They do weddings, family reunions, bachelorette parties, bachelor parties, corporate events, holiday parties. They research hotels for your wedding in venues, and they find you the best deals. The best deals. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you go to jcroomblocks.com and you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, they'll waive their fee, which makes their service to you completely free. Free consultation, man. They're on Facebook too, and Twitter, and Instagram, jcroomblocks.com. I'm telling you, man, they will hook you up. Nobody wants to deal with hotels when they're booking for their events. jcroomblocks.com. So you're like, it's so funny because you're like really energetic, you're super nice, you're super funny, but you are like one of the biggest horror fans I know. It's like Jenny too. Like Jenny is like super bubbly, happy-go-lucky, but every time I come home, she's watching like how a family was fucking chopped up and murdered in the house.
It's
and I'm like,
funny.
Why are you watching this shit? Like, what made you a horror person?
I can tell you why. Well, okay, first of all, I think it definitely... Well, okay. I think any horror fan around my age can say that Scream is what set that in motion for them.
Scream got you.
And I wasn't allowed to watch Scream. I remember watching Scream on the pay-per-view channel where it's all blurry, but like I could hear it. Because like my brother and his friends were watching it and I wasn't allowed to, not to let, you know, it wasn't porn or anything, but I was like, oh, I can hear what's going on. But you know, it was just like green and fuzzy, you know,
yeah.
Still like the Technicolor TVs.
I used to do that, but with porn. Because sometimes it would, like, you could get a little something out of it. Mm-hmm. Like it would, like the colors would like kind of mash up and then you would see the picture for like a second.
But no, it's funny you say that because my mom, like, she's not a horror person at all. Like, you know, she can watch Hitchcock or something, but Knives, all that. So when Columbine happened, it was just like, don't you dare. Like, I think she threw Scream away. Like,
she threw it away?
Or I, like, had to throw it away because I learned how to tape over a VHS that was, like, bought. Yeah. Actually, it was Halloween 2, which is really funny.
Yeah, you put tape over that little
box. Yeah! I think it must have been... when people would go in chat rooms back then.
Wait, you were taping over VHS?
Over, it was Halloween 2, the bathtub scene where her tits are out and she gets killed in the bathtub. And I remember being like, you know, my mom was, you know, being, I'm making her sound crazy. She's not. Like, I was like 10. Like, it's not okay.
All moms are crazy.
But I think I had like, I am one of, someone I must have met on like a Scream forum or something. And I think the screen name was Deacon Frost. That was the bad guy in Blade, right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Does it matter?
Yeah. Well, no. But I want to know. Steven Dorff. Yeah, and then he taught me how to do it. But I think I kind of had to explain to my mom that there were good guys in these movies too. Like that I wasn't just like, oh, yeah. Like, and that's how some people are, though. Like, I mean, of course, I, you know, Michael, Freddy, all that. But I was like, no, like, I think... Maybe because Scream was the first one I saw, Scream is like an ultra happy ending. Like, I mean, it's scary, and the opening scene is terrifying, but like, the bad guys die.
And you bring up a good point. Why do people assume that horror fans are rooting for the bad guy?
Right. Because it's, to me, it's therapeutic. You know, I'm not getting personal on this thing, but when you go through things and you can come out of it and be happy, you know, to that's what horror is. You know, you don't go to the movies to watch someone get chopped up, but you go to the movies
some people do.
But I'm saying it's any movie. You go to see yourself in the story.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in love with Julia Roberts. You're in love with the fact that you see yourself in Julia Roberts because that reminds me, you know, of you or whatever.
Yeah. But it's a lot of like, what would you do?
Right. So yeah.
That's why the Saw movies to me are so fucking awesome. Like, I love Saw because that whole movie to me is like, would you fucking do it? Would you pull that shit out of your eye?
Yeah.
Would you fucking kill your friend?
Right. So
would
it's
you
a
saw
way,
off your leg?
It's an adrenaline rush that is a natural high, and you're going through it, and you're hopefully getting out of it, but you're not actually experiencing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just to talk about Saw for a minute. I remember being excited for that and seeing that and loving that, but just saying, God, can you imagine if the acting was good? Like, that would be, like, one of the best movies ever made.
The first Saw?
Yeah.
Yo, the first Saw is fucking amazing. It's flawless.
Dan.
It's, like, it's a brilliant movie.
Carrie, I can't pronounce his last name, whatever.
Who, the Princess Bride?
Yeah.
He was okay. He was all right. But in a horror movie, you don't really have to be great.
But when the acting that's what makes a horror movie really good.
I get, but, I mean... In that movie, it's all about.
But
the
I know.
Twist.
But I mean, I loved it, and like, I thought the ending was so cool. Game over.
So fucking cool.
And we'll
cool.
talk about that because sometimes, verily, and this is just me personally, those kind of endings work.
Yeah, and I don't like a happy ending in a horror movie.
See, I do.
I don't need it. I don't need it to all be wrapped.
But what
up.
About like a half happy ending? Like, okay, Halloween. She lives. She survives the night. Like,
yeah.
You look out the window, and Michael's not there. Okay. Well, thank God she's okay. You know, but okay, what the hell's gonna happen now? That's how it was for me. I remember that. Well, I won't.
See, like
yet.
With that ending, but, it's kind of for me. It was kind of like, great. Like, who cares? That's because I didn't really like Halloween, but
yeah. But think about like The Strangers. I don't know. Like, the world's bad enough. I know that sounds cheesy, but like, I feel like it's much more an adrenaline rush to feel like. You're rooting for the character to get out of that situation.
Right.
Like, of course, that everyone loves that line, because you were home. Like, okay,
dude,
yeah, that's
yeah.
scary. But does that make you want to be like, I want to watch Strangers again? Like, you know
and
what I
it,
mean? Like,
and it's scary because that is a real threat. That's a real thing.
Right.
Like, some people are out there just to fucking kill
you. It makes
you.
Sense to hear you say that now, though, because
and it's like,
Hush, which I would compare to Strangers.
Oh, please do not.
Oh my God, why?
Hush is fucking garbage.
If any of you are listening, watch Hush on Netflix. It's really, really good, and it should have been in the movies.
Okay, so take that. Take what that Devin said and edit it all out,
no.
Michael. Uh-uh. Hush is a bad movie, and it is nowhere near Strangers.
Well, now that I know you watch things half-heartedly, how am I to know if you were really watching? No, but okay.
Watched Hush.
Cancel your opinion. Hush was a home invasion that, not to spoil it, definitely has you watching the heroine or hero kick fucking ass and be like, thank God.
Because we're all over the place. So Hush is a movie on Netflix about a girl who's deaf, who lives in the wilderness, the worst place for a deaf person to live, and relies on iMessage to contact people. And
well, backtrack. Which works. She wasn't deaf, and at 13, she got like a really bad meningitis type thing.
Yeah,
that you know, she said.
And Hush took advantage of some really good things about living in 2015 and 2016, where like you know we don't have phones anymore. We don't have house lines anymore. So like the bit about like oh she doesn't have her phone or like he cut the internet and she can't contact anyone. It was brilliant because that's how it would be. Like I mean if someone broke into. I'm sure anybody's house nowadays, there's not really going to be a phone line to cut, you know? You got to get the cell phone or whatever. But this guy, does he know her?
No.
He just doesn't know her at all?
No, you see later that he's got a bunch of nicks on his arrow.
Oh, right,
that's
right.
That's just how he was killed.
Yeah, he just wants to run around and kill
people.
But
they make you think it might be... you know, the boyfriend or whatever, but that's where they break the cliches, though. He's wearing a mask, so you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's a horror movie. He's got a mask on. And then I think, what did she say, show your face? And he's just like, all right. He takes off the mask. And the rest of the movie, he's got his face out. That was cool. That broke the mold of, like, the killer hiding behind the mask.
Yeah.
Because, well, that's another thing to ask you. Do you...
Like, he should have died, like, a couple times.
Do you like a whodunit? Like Scream, where you watch the whole thing not knowing? Or do you like it when you're just like, oh, it's some psycho? Like, you know, let's see if they're going to make it.
I mean, okay.
That adds more layers.
I'm okay either way. The horror movies that really get me are spiritual. So, like, anything dealing with the devil or, like, possession or hauntings, those creep me out. But not so much house hauntings, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this house is possessed. Because too many times those movies are like... Oh, well, your house is possessed because
there's
a child who died and was murdered, and you have to just rescue that child in the dream world, and then, like, your house will be okay. I don't fucking like those.
That's why I like The Ring, because it's like, oh, you saved her, you went into the well, and then the boy's like, nope, just kidding.
And then every horror movie after that was like, oh, it's because of some child that was really upset, blah, blah. But
I think that goes into what people are scared of, though, because, I know people that have horror movie opinions, like, oh, I can watch Exorcist shit, that's not real. It's like, oh, I can't watch, someone with a knife coming in the house, because that could happen.
Yeah,
or opposite. Like, oh, I can watch a slasher, but you know, I freak out with the devil. Like,
it's probably because I grew up pretty religious, Christian, whatever, and I remember having a conversation with one of our priests, and he was talking about, like, exorcisms are real. Like, that shit happens. And, like...
Because it has.
Yeah.
Right?
People have been, yeah.
Whether or not it was, you know, merited.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, so spiritual, like, possession, any kind of, like, religious, like, exorcist is fucking scary.
Oh. I think...
Poltergeist 2 is fucking scary. That's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. Yeah.
People like the second one?
2 was with Henry Caine. I talked about this with Cody, and he got scared. Yeah.
So he doesn't like scary movies either. Right?
Yeah, that's why this podcast
is funny
great.
Because
he doesn't do horror.
Yeah.
He can't do it. But Poltergeist 2 and like The Strangers, I like those kind of like...
I guess we were talking about the grim ending versus the positive ending.
Right.
Have you ever seen... Did you watch Drag Me to Hell?
Yes.
Okay.
But that was too comic book for me.
Well, no. Well, that...
It felt very like camp, like happy, like
say,
funny, campy. There were too many like funny jump scares.
Not to use this as my defense, even though I do, I'm that person. It's like 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. But a lot of people saw that, and they made him. I mean, the trailer was great, but the trailer didn't give you an ounce of comedy. Right. I think they were too scared to advertise it that way. But it was Sam Raimi's return after now making a bajillion dollars off of the Spider-Man franchise.
Yeah.
Cool, I can go make another horror movie like Evil Dead.
Evil Dead's fucking
so
great.
So I think Drag Me to Hell manages to be a horror movie, but yeah, the comedic apps, the comedic stuff is great, but people going into it thinking it's straight horror get pissed and they can't even take it.
But I was, she and that I was I will say I was a little creeped out by the ganoush.
Oh yeah,
because she, like it has that like spell possession stuff.
Prop store little sidebar.
Yeah.
My first day walking in here for my interview, Mrs. Ganoush is in the front lobby, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking work here. That's awesome.
The
like,
ganoush.
But yeah, I think she, I helped ship that, and it was like it was awesome.
That scene where she's like throwing up on her and shit.
Yeah, but even though. I think I like a horror movie with a morality tale too, though, because that puts you in the shoes. Like, well, I mean, would I have done the same thing? Because the whole movie, she's like, "It was my boss, it wasn't me," but it really was her because she wanted to get ahead, and we can all relate to getting ahead.
Yeah,
and you know, but you felt bad for her too. I think they did a good job of putting you in her shoes, and then taking it out from under you because I fell for it. Some people didn't. They come in with the quarter switching the button like. The ending was like, oh, she got her new jackets, the bright sunny day. Like, I was like, oh, cool, you know, she survived. And then the ending just totally...
But I feel like Justin Long would have probably dumped her after, like, she met her
parents.
A
lot of people thought he was going to get took. I kind of think that would have been cool. But the button was still hers.
After she totally ruined, like, the meet the parents...
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like...
I know. Right when it was going
we'd have probably
well.
Broke up. If that were me, I'd be like, listen, this did not go well.
But
you're out.
I think when people ask what my favorite movie is, Scream and Halloween are kind of like one and the same. Because Kevin Williamson's favorite movie is Halloween. And he wrote Scream. And Halloween's playing on the TV like the whole Scream movie, like the final half an hour. There's just so many connections to it. And without Halloween, there'd be no Scream. But then I always say without Scream, there'd be no H2O. Because that set off the new renaissance of the late 90s, like brought everything back. So, you know, I think, and then Scream mentions so many scary movies that I'd never heard of. I mean, even like Howling, you know, Terror Train. So that just, it was kind of just like a history lesson for a young person. So I went back and just watched everything.
Yeah. And horror is so good in, because Scream's funny.
Right.
That's a funny movie.
I don't like when people compare that to like Cabin in the Woods.
No.
Because like Cabin in the Woods, how fun,
the woods.
You know, that, oh, okay, it was actually this. But Scream somehow was its own movie too.
Yeah.
And you totally get invested and you get scared while still being hysterical.
Right.
That's why when Scary Movie was coming to fruition, people were like, wait, I thought Scream was a spoof. Well, but it wasn't a spoof in that sense. But,
and that's why horror films are great is because...
The Final Girl is a good example.
Yeah.
Of being able to still have like a story going on, but like, what's the word? Meta.
Poke
fun and be outside of the box.
And even old, like as you, if you know, you have a scary movie... Then 20 years go by, you rewatch it, and like you saw it originally, and you were scared out of your mind because you watched it when you were 10. Then you watch it again at like 25. You can see, like you could say, "Oh, this sucks now," but or it flips to a comedy, you know, like a lot of the Nightmare on Elm Streets, like a lot of the Nightmare on Elm Streets are now just funny, you know,
right?
Because like you know. The technology flips, the what do you call it? The CGI doesn't work anymore, and it's like, oh, this is just funny. What are you looking for? Bottle opener?
Freddy became, a character. We can get into Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
I refresh myself on that. But anyway, long story short, I snuck over to my friend Caitlin's house. Caitlin Eckert, hi, I'll make you watch it.
What's up, Caitlin?
Isn't that how it works? If you name drop someone, it's like, you gotta listen to the podcast because they talk about you.
Yeah.
And then they wait and wait and wait until they hear their name.
Yeah, you share.
Well, I snuck over her house to watch Halloween, and I just, that's what, I was so scared, and I was just so in it. Like, I felt like I was in Laurie's shoes, and the second it ended, I wanted to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the movie that I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for that movie.
Yeah.
And I like to hope everyone in this town has a movie they can say that about, or a person, because that's kind of cool. And then...
What do you think about, like, Child's Play?
Dude, I was just about to talk about that.
Really?
You're talking about Chucky, right?
Yeah.
You said about how things got silly. The first Child's Play is, like, really scary.
Yeah.
It's really good, and I think... You can.
And those progressively get funny.
You can exactly. You can give Catherine Hicks the the credit for that, because I think she really kind of played how a mom would be if your fucking kid's doll was coming to life. Like, yeah. You know,
like, what the fuck?
I think I watched, again, because of Scream, Bride of Chucky happened. You know, I think Scream really just let's do another, you know, Jason, whatever, Jason X. So I remember Bride of Chucky I watched with my dad. Like, I was so lucky I had my dad. It would, like, sneak me to these movies, even though my mom, like, was totally turned off by it.
Yeah.
Quick funny story about my dad's Iranian, and when he came to the States, was in 72, and I want to say Exorcist came out in 73, and they were dating, and my mom didn't sleep at home with him that night because she was so mad that he went and saw that movie, because it was like such a like religious whatever. And when he took me to see it at the re-release when I was like 12, he now knew English slang. So he's hearing like, your mother sucks cocks in hell, and he's like, oh, Demi, like covering my ears. Because when he saw it in 73, he didn't know. I mean, of course he'd understand it and he was scared, but he didn't know like all the things that, you know, Ray was saying.
Exorcist was 73.
Okay, so I was right.
Are you watching the TV show?
We should play a date game. No, but I love Gina Davis.
The show is really good.
It's not doing too well though, so I don't really want to jump on unless I know it's
me and Jenny are into it.
Now, is it like the movie, it's not a remake. Slower? Like, is she already possessed, or we're going to gradually get into that?
It's, yeah, she is, but she doesn't really know it yet. And it's like you say, it's a slower burn.
Yeah.
Like, she, it's going to get there.
Okay. How's Gina Davis?
She's good. She doesn't,
as Susan Sarandon,
she doesn't look good, you know? Yeah. I feel like she's had some work.
I don't know. She's just a little, like, puffier.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like she ate like a bag of salt.
The work, drank a thing the of water. Can work against you or not. Just real quick to go back to Child's Play. Yeah, so I love the first Child's Play. I don't think 2 and 3 are good at all. Yeah. I remember some kills from it, but I thought Bride of Chucky was so good and so funny. And my dad actually texted me a picture the other night saying, getting in the Halloween mood watching this, so I thought of him. My friend Chelsea, you literally just had a baby, and her infant is dressed as Chucky, and she's Tiffany. And I'm like, is it bad as a mom to dress your kid as a murderer? But Seed of Chucky was bad, and now it's straight to video. But Child's Play 1, I really like. I need to watch it again. They just released an awesome Blu-ray of it with, like, comes with the doll and all that.
Really?
We had some.
There's a Child's Play 6 here that I like. It's six. New. Like, super new.
It is 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's he looks different. I don't know if maybe they didn't have the rights or something, but he doesn't look the same.
Yeah, he's like something a different doll. Like.
But Seed of Chucky went to theaters, and I saw it, but it wasn't too good.
It's funny that you say the kills were bad in Child's Play, but...
No, I think I'm saying I remember some of the kills from 2. I think a teacher getting killed with a ruler.
I've seen Halloween, like, when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I know who Michael Myers is. But we were talking about doing this podcast, and I was talking about getting in the mood for Halloween. So I wanted to rewatch it.
Yeah, we're a little
late,
folks.
We're a little late.
But that's okay, you know.
We're all right. But I rewatched Halloween, and... I didn't like it one bit. I didn't see any artistic, anything artsy about it. The kills are terrible. The cuts are
really...
Well,
there's no blood in Halloween,
yeah,
virtually.
The cuts are so bad. They, like, there's, like, long shots of things. It's just like, what? It just went completely over my head.
I think that... If I had a film school, I wouldn't show it because it's my favorite. I'd show it because it cost $325,000, and he did that. You know, he was 30 years old.
Yeah,
he made the score, everything, and it made $70 million, and is still 40 years almost later. You know,
it's top five.
It's a legendary movie, and I think for someone that doesn't have a nostalgic connection to it like me, I can see that because you're watching it and you're bored, but you kind of have to remember that there was almost nothing like it before it.
Right.
You know, you can talk... There's a couple movies. Black Christmas. Haven't I told you about the movie?
Yeah.
I swear to God, it's from 74. It literally... John Carpenter pretty much owes a lot of his... you know, success to that movie, because that was first, but no one knows about that one.
Yeah.
But it's the same director as A Christmas Story, which is really funny.
Huh.
So, and they remade Black Christmas too. Anyway, I see what you mean. For me, I guess Halloween worked because of the slow burn. I don't think movies really much anymore take the time with those, you know, long shots. Like, there's like 5 minutes where Laurie, she's like, all right, I'm going to have to go over and my friend's house now. She grabs the keys, and it's just like this shot of her walking across the street. And the blues, it's just like gorgeous. She looks great.
It's just like, what?
But you're like, just... but what's cool is she has no idea what she's about to get into. But you do.
Yeah.
That's another thing to talk about, people, regardless of what genre of film, whether you like dramatic irony or not. Like, do you like when you know what's going to happen, but the character doesn't? Or do you like not, do you like the suspense? Like, do you like,
I like not knowing.
Okay. Yeah. Some people hate that. It's like when you go to the last page of a book.
Yeah.
But anyway, I can, you know.
Cause not, and not knowing is better in the theater too, because then people aren't shouting like, watch out, bitch.
Yeah.
He got the knife. You know?
I think Jamie Lee said when she went to see it on the big screen, she snuck into the back of a theater. And when, after the closet scene, when she drops the knife, someone was like, bitch, you deserve to die. Why are you dropping that? But I look at that as, you know, she's that like innocent virginal character. You don't want her to hold the knife, and she doesn't want to hold it either. I will say that I think just as much as John Carpenter and Michael Myers, her performance is 100% a reason for that, why that movie is successful, because it's her first movie and it's such a good.
So that was her first,
that was her
ever
first
movie.
Yeah, and I know you can, you know, it's funny. Some people, you know, I talk about nepotism, whatever, Emma Roberts, blah, blah, blah. People are like, you know, you can't really say you're mad that someone's, you know, godfather is so-and-so, because your favorite actress is Jamie Lee Curtis. She was literally born a star. Her parents were Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh. Like, yeah, but it was still, she like did it herself. You can't just like, I mean, she, to this day, she's humble. She's like, Halloween gave me my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, is Halloween why you love her so much?
It's funny. I remember being in Atlantic City because, you know, my great parents, they are great parents. They went to Atlantic, they took us to Atlantic City, and then they were like downstairs gambling, and me and my brother were in the hotel room, and it was like, oh, yeah, you guys can rent a movie, whatever. I want to say we watched Speed, and then we watched True Lies. Mm. And that was probably the first R-rated movie I ever saw.
True Lies is good.
True Lies is really
good. And
she's
sexy as hell in that scene.
Insane.
Oh, my God.
You know, there was like, they were literally this close to True Lies 2 going, and then 9/11 happened, and they were like, terrorism's just not even kind of funny.
Really?
Because if you watch it now, there's a little bit of a,
like,
you know,
the missiles,
cliche
and
stereotypes
and, yeah,
to those, you know, to that. But no, it's really good, and it's cool to think about. All right, James Cameron, top three, go.
Did he do T2?
Yeah.
T2, Avatar, and Titanic.
Yikes. I'd say Aliens and True Lies way before any of those. But
nah.
That's cool to hear. I saw Avatar opening night IMAX 3D with my brother. I was so excited. And then I just like...
I like
Avatar.
You
know what? I can't go to midnight movies. I just fall asleep.
I'm one of the people who's like, I don't see anything
like
bad with Avatar.
There's like 40 sequels coming.
I think it's fucking great.
But,
I loved it.
But yeah, so anyway, but then watching Halloween is what kind of is set all that off. But then my dad took me to see H2O, because that's the whole thing. I think my brother and his friends were going to see H2O, and I was like, what is this H2O thing? And I was like, whoa, cool. This is like 20 years later.
Yeah.
So my dad...
Horror is a family thing. Either your family is into it, and then you all are doing it, or like it's just like, no, we don't mess with horror stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, my whole family is like, horror movies. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Well, that's why I do think Gung it's ho. Weird when people are like, yeah, when I was like 5, I saw such and such, like... You know, I'm not getting into the whole, you know, again, when I was talking about Columbine and stuff, but I do think you have to know if you think your kid can watch something like that.
Yeah.
But that's why it's scary, because you're like, what are they thinking when they're watching that?
And a horror movie isn't a bad risk anymore today, because if it is bad, you can sit there and laugh at it, you know?
Yeah.
If it's great, then great. We're all freaking out. We're scared. You're jumping. It's a cooperative watch.
That's another thing too, though. Some people, they can know they're about to watch something horrible, but they really enjoy it because it's so bad. But that's not me. Like, I think, you know, 99% of horror movies that come out are crap.
Yeah.
But it's so always worth finding the diamond in the rough, whether it's on Netflix or whatever. That's why it's always disheartening when something that's not good gets a wide release and everything, and then something like, I'll just say Hush, but we can bring up other ones that are small that don't get a chance.
The Witch.
You know? Well, The Witch got its release, and I think it did okay.
The Witch tripped me
I'm
out,
sure
man. But people are saying,
I didn't like The Witch.
People are saying, like, that's not a horror movie. It's a terror movie or whatever.
Terror movie.
Yeah, like, there's no, it's not horror because I forget the argument. Like, there's no jump scares.
Right. I mean, psychological drama, whatever. I think I was waiting for the so-called, you know, triumphant kind of ending there, and that did not happen. And I was just like,
and the Witch got me because because of the religious yeah. shit. That always gets me, man.
What, Black Ice, what I wrote, there's definitely some religious stuff, mm-hmm. but I feel like you don't want, either too much is too much.
Yeah.
And then too little is just like, what's the point? But yeah, you gotta do like a little bit. But have you, back to the whole ending thing, have you ever seen Funny Games?
No.
Well, I think it's a foreign film, and then they remade it with Naomi Watts, and it's about a family that I think these like two young guys just like home invasion, tie them up, everything.
Oh, yeah, it has Michael Pitt.
Okay.
Michael Pitt's in it.
All right.
And they,
American version?
Yeah, and they just fucking like capture this family in their house and fuck with them.
But correct me if I'm wrong, in the. There's a scene where suddenly one of the family members gets away and starts beating the shit out of somebody. And you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the movie just rewinds. And then it's back where it was. And that didn't happen. And I don't know if that was, like, the filmmaker's decision or if that was something to do with the people that were in the... Like, I'm not crazy. Like, it literally, we could, like, look it up. It gives you that Hollywood moment.
Yeah.
And you're so excited about it. And then it, literally, the film just rewinds. And then it's like, nope, that didn't happen. And then, yeah, it just continues to be torture, and then they die. So that's an experiment in a way that's like, oh, look, you know, that's...
Well, it's also a cop-out, too, of, like, you know, people can't go back and be like, well, I hated it because they didn't do this.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Well, we did it,
yeah.
But then we rewound it back, and we gave
Harsh
you the ending we want.
Harsh does that in the opposite way. When you think I was like, is this going to be that movie? He smashes her head and kills her with a rock. And all of a sudden you realize she's just playing out the scenarios in her head of
right.
what could happen.
Right.
But I thought that, I mean, I definitely believed it. I was like, what?
I think that those type of things are cheap. And like, if you're going to make the movie and you're going to make it like nobody's winning here, just do that. Don't be a little, it's like the iPhone with their fucking no headphone jack. Don't make a dongle to like give us an extra port. Just
but
cut the jack altogether.
Horror is known for the whole final scare, and to talk about Nightmare on Elm Street, which I really like, but I don't compare it to Halloween. I think it's very different, and mm-hmm. it's also Wes Craven, who is amazing, who I got to meet, and rest in peace.
R.I.P. Wes.
Nightmare on Elm Street is ruined by that final scene.
Don't ruin it for me because I haven't.
How long has it been?
I haven't watched. I mean, I think I've seen them all, but I don't remember them all. So
you didn't watch the first one? You just started on two?
Oh, the first one? Yeah.
I'm talking about the end of the first one.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. Nancy defeats her demon. She's not scared of it anymore. And then she gets into the car, and all her friends are alive. And then the convertible, like, shuts.
Yeah.
It looks like Freddy's sweater.
Yeah.
And then her mom gets pulled in through the window. If you pause it just right, it's a freaking inflatable mannequin.
She gets
mannequin.
Sucked through the door.
It's so tacked on. And I don't... I mean, a sequel doesn't exist until the studio says so. But I think it's not... you know, Halloween 2, the very... I mean, yeah, of course, Halloween, he's still alive. But I just don't like when the ending is clear and then they do one of those things.
But
like, I know what you did last summer. And then in the next movie, it's like, oh, it's just I'm having these bad dreams, blah, blah, blah. So sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. And with Nightmare on Elm Street, it really kind of takes away what I think
what I'm feeling, I'm getting from all the Nightmare movies is that there's absolutely no rules for Freddy. Mm-hmm. Freddy can do whatever he wants. He gets destroyed. He gets... ended it, the curse is lifted, and then the next movie he's
but
just
that's
back.
Where we can get into money talk, because that's what the horror fans deal with a lot. Like, it's a really hard genre to be a fan of, because you think you have your ending and then you don't, and sometimes you win it but sometimes you don't, but because of, you know, movies making money,
every Freddy movie he's done,
so
it's over.
A lot of people didn't know this, and I didn't know this forever. And I'm kind of spoiling something for you, but whatever. Halloween is like Star Trek by now. You just pick your own ending. I mean, Sigourney Weaver said with the new Alien movie, she's like, oh, 3 and 4 are like a separate universe. You know, it's choose your own adventure. But
they get
Halloween
paid to say
H2O
that.
Is not the last Halloween movie in that timeline. There's Halloween Resurrection. And it's awful. And
right.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in the first 10 minutes of that movie. And she got $3 million for it. And she dies because...
Yeah.
She was literally, like, already filming H2O, and she said the script kept coming in, and she's like, oh, I see the fire, and I know he's gone. And she's like, nope, No, I'm chopping his fucking head off. That's why I signed on to do this movie. You know, this lady's a mess, and she's finally facing her fear. She's like, I don't understand what's going on. And they're like, Jamie, there's a clause in the contract that says you can't kill Michael Myers. She's like, now you fucking tell me?
What?
Like, we've hired people, blah, blah, blah. So Kevin Williamson had to go, and he was like, all right, what if you think he's dead? The audience thinks he's dead, but he's not really dead. And she's like, what? So that's why, I mean, when you know, when she gets the axe and she screams Michael, she's beating the shit out of him. But at the very end, he had switched places with a paramedic, and she chops off an innocent father of two's head.
What?
So the beginning of Resurrection is her in a mental hospital because that has sent her off, and she killed someone because Michael switched places. So it really sucked to know that she was filming that awesome ending, which I still, that's my ending regardless, but knew that, God damn it, like, I'm making this movie and this is, she was like, I should have produced it. So I think that shows, like, Freddy, Jason, it was probably like, yeah, no, you know,
Freddy,
you can't
don't
kill
die.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact that it was in the contract that, no, you can't kill Michael Myers, like, that's crazy, but that's how, you know, you keep making money.
In Vin Diesel's contract for the Fast movies, the ones that have The Rock in it, and they like Fast Five, they like get in a fight. Vin Diesel's contract, he can't lose a fight.
Oh wow!
In the movies, he won't lose. Mm. He just can't.
But
Halloween 2 is better than Halloween 1, but still bad. And from what I got from Halloween 2 is that Michael Myers is just one big cock block because everyone he kills. Is like about to like get it in or like is already got it in and is done. Like, why does he always get people when they're about to do it?
It's funny that you say that though, because if you watch it compared to the first one, even though it has a bigger budget, the music, it's 1981. And
yeah.
It's 3 years after the first one. So that's why Jamie Lee Curtis has a horrible wig on. That's like not the
same
as it was from
the first
one.
Yeah, that was really strange.
But like, it just feels like very trashy and 80s and different. But yeah, I mean, it's still really boring in the middle, I feel like. But there's a lot more kills in the first one.
Yeah.
But the ending's definitely more, you know, action-packed and stuff. But, okay, well, that's what you think. Aside from the video that said, that's not how glass works.
Yeah, what the fuck? He just, like, waltzes through a glass door that Jamie Lee Curtis has sat there and, like, beat on for like, 10 minutes. Like, help, let me in! And then he just walks through. Also, with Michael Myers, he is not physically scary. He does it. He only moves.
You know, that's a William Shatner mask.
Is it?
They had a William Shatner Star Trek mask when they were making Halloween, and they were like, all right, cut the eyes out, paint it white, and that's what it is.
Huh.
And I don't know if he ever like tried to get money from that or anything, but yeah, that's William
Weird.
Shatner is Michael Myers.
Well, and he doesn't walk fast. He doesn't.
That's what's scary.
He doesn't.
He knows
run,
he's gonna get you. I
but
think
it's,
like
it's
you know.
It, for me, it doesn't work because it's like, dude, I'll just run and he'll continue to walk and he will never get me. And then he's not strong. He doesn't look scary. He's just a dude walking around. And like, did you in Halloween 2? They're running for the elevator. He's walking up to the elevator, and there's that awful shot of him like with a scalpel, like. Trying
just, like,
to stop the elevator
in.
Door with his
yeah.
hand, and he like misses it. It's like, of course, he's like a shitty little robot man.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What's your top five killers in horror films? It's got to be Ghostface, right?
But Ghostface, that's what's different about Ghostface. He's always
Ghostface?
Different.
Yeah.
And Michael's definitely my favorite just because.
Michael Myers?
Yeah.
He's like, I get it why he's there in the world's top five. But
did you see Zombies remake? Rob Zombie's remake?
Yeah, okay. I like those.
Okay, that's really stupid. You're
see, those are badass.
No. I think that's cool, but that goes into Michael's background and why he's messed up. It's scary to me. John Carpenter didn't even want to do a Halloween 2. He said he threw it together and wrote it with a six-pack because they were paying him. He didn't direct it. He didn't want anything else. Halloween was called The Babysitter Murders first. And there's no rhyme or reason. He's just after them. And it's,
yeah.
So imagine seeing Halloween and not knowing there was 20 other sequels like we did because we're younger. And just seeing it and being like, that was freaking scary. Because I don't know that they're brother and sister. I don't know what his thing is. Like, there's no... there's no explanation. There's no motive.
And I think,
but okay, so you know, this goes back to what you were saying about, you know, being 25 and looking back. Texas Chainsaw Massacre scared me more than Halloween, more than anything else, I think, at the time. But I don't like, I look back and I don't like it as much. I don't enjoy it. I don't, it's great. And it's actually
the regular or the remake?
The regular. I'm very lucky I saw that before the remake. Because I remember my brother loves the remake.
It's like Jessica Biel.
It's like one of his top five favorite movies. I'm like, what?
Really?
But I like hated it. And he's not even a horror person. But so I think Leatherface and his family is like maybe number two. They're really scary.
They're creepy.
You probably haven't seen that in a while, have you?
No, not in a while.
There's like a dinner scene where they have the girl just tied up and they're just like staring at her and laughing. And like you don't know what they're eating. And they're just like feeding this like the grandfather, like whoever's like, it's really scary.
It's gross.
Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal.
I would put at three.
Okay.
Because you like him. You know what I mean? He's obviously, you know, a cannibal and a murderer, but it's such a good performance and good character that you're like rooting for him. You're happy in the end when he's walking away following the doctor.
He won Best Actor for that?
And the movie won Best Picture and Best Writer. No, I don't know about writer. Oh, it might have been. What's the big four? They got actress and actor.
Picture.
Director and picture, probably.
Yeah.
And I want to say it had to have gotten screenplay.
He won.
But how cool for a horror movie? Because I think aside from Sixth Sense in 99, I can't remember the last horror or thriller that was like Oscar acknowledged.
He had the least screen time for a winner of Best Actor.
Okay.
Ever.
Now, was it supporting actor or main actor? I think it was main actor.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of just, I don't know if there's actually rules, but I guess it just goes to like how robust your presence is in the film. Because yeah, he's not in it that much, but you just feel him the whole time.
Yeah, he.
I want to say Judi Dench for Shakespeare in Love won an Oscar for like.
He had 16
minutes or something.
16 minutes of screen time.
That's crazy.
16 minutes of screen time. Anne Hathaway, also she won for Les Miserables, 15 minutes of screen time.
But I think those are usually supporting, and Anthony is Best Actor, and I don't think it would be supporting.
Judi Dench, Shakespeare in Love, 8 minutes of screen time.
8 minutes. That might be the record for just the award overall.
Viola Davis in Doubt, 8 minutes screen time.
What? She didn't win though, did she? I think she was just nominated. Have you seen Doubt?
Let's see. Meryl Streep got Best Actress and competed against her Doubt co-star Amy Adams. I don't know if she won or not, but she's probably nominated.
And then I'll go Norman Bates. Do you know Norman Bates?
Bates? Yeah. Of course I know Norman Bates.
Apparently Bates Motel is a really good show. I need to watch.
Devin, I don't know if you know this, but I am a horror person. Of course I know Norman Bates.
Just checking. You like Rob Zombie's Halloween. I can't be too sure.
Yeah, she's good. Who's your five?
I guess I'll say Ghostface for five.
Ghostface?
Well, you know what? No, I think Roseanne's sister, Laurie Metcalf. I think she was like the best movies. That
she's
was awesome.
Good.
And that was such a good, she was in it just enough that maybe she was a suspect, but there's no way you were watching it thinking that she could be the killer.
Yeah,
but you watch it again, there's some good foreshadowing. So yeah.
My top five killers. I got to go in no particular order, just five killers. Freddy, Jason. Jason's scary as fuck.
I didn't even talk about Jason this whole podcast. Jason's, I've only seen the first Friday the 13th.
Jason's cool. All right, so Freddy, Jason. I'll go Jigsaw. I'll go. I like the idea of Chucky, so I'll throw him in there. And I got one more. Let's go with shit.
Samara.
No, not Samara. Shit, I don't know. Can't think of anybody.
Who are we missing?
How about the I Know What You Did Last Summer guy?
Fisherman. No, Fisherman? It's
the hook guy?
It's gotta be I don't
Yeah, the meat hook or whatever. The fish hook.
What the hell?
I don't know what his
name
was.
Is it the fisherman? I guess so.
How about
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
All right, Devin. We are going to play a game. I have a list of the top 100 horror movies. Okay?
And I want you to guess the top 10. What's in the top 10?
Isn't that just like someone's opinion?
You'll never get it. Well, it's Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, no.
It's Rotten Tomatoes. You're never going to get the top 10. I don't think. They're old. They're very, very old.
Not Fates, is it?
No.
No.
Clue for no. Clue
Nosferatu?
For.
Nosferatu?
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Okay. No, that's number two.
It's number two.
97% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
So nothing's 100? Or is number one 100?
Number one's 100%.
What's the. Don't they do like a weird way of tallying? Because there's got to be other 100%.
I don't think you're ever going to get one.
Is it from the 30s?
It's from the 20s.
20s.
Any shot?
Is it a character that's still like around? No? No. Like, is it. It's not like the Mummy or Dracula or anything.
I'm going to give this to you. Das Kabinett.
Oh, okay.
The Dr. Caligari.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
I think I feel like it's a short story or something that I've had to read. But
Well, that's two. One of these killers in the top... there's a killer in the top 10 and he's in your top 5.
Norman Bates.
Yep.
Yeah.
Psycho, number 5.
What about Aliens or Alien?
Aliens is number 12.
Oh, okay.
That I feel like that's not even a horror movie.
I don't like when people say that because I get it. The first one is a slasher first movie one. In outer space, but the second one, I mean, what else are you going to call it?
Alien,
it's not completely sci-fi because I don't...
Alien is a horror movie. Right. Aliens is an action movie.
It's. Can you just say horror action?
Just because there's military.
I mean, the first hour and a half, yeah, it's an action movie, but the last... 45. You know, I'll say this. Even trumping Halloween,
mm-hmm.
I think, and I don't think you agree, or maybe you do. I think Aliens has like the best climax of any movie ever.
Alien?
Aliens.
What, like?
Just, you keep.
Get thinking, off my plane, bitch,
well,
or whatever.
That,
the
no,
fuck
of course,
she
that's
says.
Great, but just never, it never actually being over. I think from the second that she, like, you know, gets the torch out, and from the second you see the little tail come up and Newt's in the. I mean, it was really, really. This is actually the 30th anniversary this year.
I don't really care about Aliens.
I thought you did.
Nah, Brandon's a big Aliens guy.
I think that's cool. That's what I like. Because Brandon, me and him are not really on the same page with movies. You know,
he likes Aliens.
And I'm glad he likes Aliens.
He loves Aliens growing up.
But yeah, he's more of a.
All right, back to this game. Number 10. It came out in 2015. It was a people were in love with it.
It Follows?
It Follows.
How did that get on the top 10?
That's a
already?
Good one, dude.
It Follows. I liked is cool. it. I went and saw it. I think it has very John Carpenter.
It Follows is super cool because it you know, it's all like it's an STD. You don't see many like sexually transmitted horror films,
well,
you know?
It was like, you know, an
it's
allegory
cool.
or whatever you want to say. No, it was cool.
Number 9 was 2014. This was a film that was very popular on Netflix.
Babadook. I like that
Duk.
One.
That's a fucking scary movie.
That was a really good movie.
That is a scary movie. Any, I feel, these type of movies scare me like crazy because the kid's creepy and the book. Like, there's a prop in a movie that like does something that like has a power uh-huh. that kind of gets me too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, get that fucking book out of there, man. That book was scary as hell.
I really like that one.
Okay. Number 8 is 1968. This is a classic. Very classic.
That's hard. 68.
Yeah.
Night of the Living Dead?
Nope. It, without giving too much away, it has to do with a cult.
Rosemary's Baby.
Ding, ding, ding!
That was 68?
Yeah.
It's funny, because I feel like that and The Omen are like bubbling under The Exorcist. And
yeah.
I hadn't seen The Rosemary's Baby till much later on. That's scary.
That's a scary movie, yeah. man. 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Number 7, think the 30s, Monster. He's like classic monster.
your, you know.
Wolfman? No, he's not classic.
Wolfman's classic.
The Mummy?
I mean, you're on the right track.
Frankenstein?
Ding, ding, ding. Yep, Frankenstein. 100%.
That's what I'm saying. How is number two 97%? But then some things. It must be like based off the amount of reviews or something like that.
Number six is a lot like number seven.
Jaws.
No. No. Number six is a lot like number seven.
Oh, okay. I was just like,
the one you just said, a little bit different.
Did I mention it already?
Yes, motherfucker.
Dracula.
No.
The Mummy.
What was the last one that you said?
Frankenstein.
Right. This is a lot like that. Like, almost has the exact same word in it.
I'm blanking down. Bride of Frankenstein?
Yes.
So weird.
Bride of Frankenstein. You already said Psycho, number five. Number four, I wouldn't constitute this as horror, but it's one of the... It's got one of the most classic beastly monsters that I guess people were frightened of.
What year?
30s. Black and white. They remade it. Jack Black.
Oh, King Kong.
King Kong.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that a horror movie either.
I've never heard of this movie. 1965. Number three, you got 100% Repulsion.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard of that?
That's, it's not De Palma, is it? Does it say who directed it?
Nah.
Not, no, no.
And then,
We
already did number two and number one.
Yeah.
Funny, a couple things to point out. The Witch was number 20, 91%.
Well, I mean, at least they're updating it. They're not keeping, like, a sacred
Cabin
list.
In the Woods, 21. Silence of the Lambs, 25.
That's low.
Where's
Exorcist?
Exorcist.
That's bad. It's down that low.
1974 Texas Chainsaw Massacre is number 54. Halloween is 33.
Too low.
At 93%. And my boy, Nightmare on Elm Street, is number 40. But 94%.
So how far are you in on the marathon?
I've watched 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
Freddy is, all right, here's why Freddy is better than Michael Myers. Freddy has a personality. Freddy is funny. Freddy has an agenda. And like Freddy's kills are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He just morphs into everything and kills you. And if he doesn't do that, he has the badass glove and he fucking like gets all up in there. Michael Myers' kills are not good.
I think, but Freddy's just not in reality is all, for the most part. Like, he's not real.
Oh, like, he's real.
But she kills him because she, you know, she says, I'm not afraid of you anymore, whatever. But he's not like, I think Michael's scarier because
Freddy's real in your dreams, man.
Right. If you die in your dream, you die in reality, blah, blah, blah. But he became a joke. It became silly. You know, Freddy was on, you know, all the... It was made in 84, right?
Yeah.
Even the first one. I love it. But it just got that, like, 80s hue of, like, fogginess and, like, the colors. And it's just a little trashy.
But that's what's so cool about Freddy is
Johnny
that...
Johnny Depp's here because of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah,
because Wes Craven's daughter was like, oh, daddy's cute. Just pick him.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Did you know... I forgot to mention
Wait, I have the best story.
What? Nancy.
Yeah, how cool was that?
Devin met Nancy.
My first day at Prof Store.
You saw the Ganoush and
Dan
you met Nancy.
Dan and Brandon were like, oh, you want to come help us pick up some stuff? And I think Brandon, you know, being with the knowledge that he... has said, yeah, I think, you know, this guy's wife was in some old scary movies. And I was like, oh, cool. She's probably like, you know, been in something I've never heard of. And then we go in and it's freaking Heather Langenkamp. And
who plays Nancy from
Nightmare on Elm Street.
And third?
So I was like, it's my first day at this job. I'm not going to, like, you know, ask for a picture or autograph or be a weirdo. But then a couple weeks later, Brandon sent me by myself to go pick something up. And I don't really actually remember how I, you know, segued. But she was so sweet. And she signed a copy of her documentary called I Am Nancy. And she gave it to me. And that was really cool.
That's cool.
And I remember she said, that's so cool that you work there. You know, that's going to be such a great story to tell people when you make it.
Yeah.
Still haven't made it, but yeah, it's a cool.
And I can't find that documentary, by the way.
That's bad.
I'm going to find it.
Oh, because you moved.
I'm going to find it.
Probably in a crack in a box. Somewhere in Van Nuys.
I'm going to find it, and I'm going to watch it.
That's bad. It's worth money. But so I saw New Nightmare at a screening at Cal State Long Beach with Wes Craven in tow. So random. He went to the class, barely anyone in there, did like a Q&A. And this was a little over 2 years ago before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so – I could tell he was just a little melancholy. Like, I guess maybe he knew he was sick. I don't know. I think it was some kind of brain cancer. But he was just awesome. He was like, don't think you can plan your life because you can't. Like, it's just – it's little things like that because just the way his career came up. But not many directors can have two things. Ghostface and Freddy. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, he – well, he gave us that. So.
Dude, Fred.
He played New Nightmare. New Nightmare is the one, we're not to again spoil it, but you saw three already. Nancy dies.
Yeah.
And Heather Langenkamp plays herself. And Freddy's coming into her real world, you know, haunting her and her son. And that was so cool. For 1994, that was definitely, you know, aside from Gremlins 2, which is a whole other podcast,
oh,
and a
God.
Whole Key and Peele skit. But I watch Gremlins 2 now, and I'm like, wow, like this had to be the first, like, really meta mainstream movie that was just so self-aware, poking fun of itself. But I just said poking sounded like John Densmore. I love his little
dun, 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 so, dun, dun. What's up, John? I know you listen to this.
Anyway, so New Nightmare is really cool because she's playing herself and Freddy's in the real world, and to think that 2 years later he made Scream, which was completely so, you know, it was kind of like, you know,
yeah,
I think Heather herself said something about how that, you know, set the standard.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. And if that's not enough for you, we're all over social media, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and you can bookmark our website, thedanandcodypodcast.simplecast.fm.
Subscribe, bitch!
Ain't nobody played a tough guy to shoot, bro. Right.